off the set of Top Gun 2. Congressman Adam Kinzinger is joining us right now.
Boom! I got a cameo as Goose.
I gotta say, I was up very early this morning, which is not a normal occurrence for me. I'm an afternoon into the evening into the late night kind of a guy, and I turn on the TV, and there is a scruffy one eye open Adam Kinzinger doing an interview on cable news.
Man, you were up early.
What time was that?
Well, I could tell you were up early because he was like, "Let me tell you something." Allison Cameron, let me tell you something. God, I am so hungover.
You know, part of the problem, though, is somebody like next to me is also doing an interview, right. And you're like, hey, you don't want to yell over each other, because if I get loud, they get loud, and then it turns into a stupid thing. So,
as that was happening, all the people were lined up with the TV cameras at the time?
It's a marble hall we're in right now, yeah. And so they put you right next to them, and somebody's like, rah, rah, rah. You're like, oh man, and not, you know,
it is amazing how
in one ear
how close everybody is on the White House lawn or there at the Capitol, and you literally could just reach out and touch the person next to you, you're arm length away from people, and those microphones are supposed to be very tight in terms of how they pick up the sound, but sometimes they're not. But anyway,
so it sounded like it was the Golf Channel. Was he kind of whispering like he was?
That's right. Yeah.
With Adam's case, it sounded to me like he had morning voice. Like when someone calls you first thing in the morning, you try to act like you weren't.
I'm totally awake. Totally awake.
Right. Yeah.
I've been up forever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like when they call you at noon.
Yeah. Exactly. When you call me at 2, I'm like a but he's all dressed up and everything, so he'd gotten there, but it was just he was morning voicing it. All right. Listen, you had a lot of important things to say through your morning voice, so let's talk about those. All right, let's talk about North Korea first, because we're going to talk to Mickey Bergman, who was one of the chief negotiator to get Otto Warmbier back from North Korea, coming up next hour. So there is, there are a lot of people here. There are a lot of chefs in the kitchen who are telling people, like the president and some of the negotiating team that is currently working, about how they should approach the North Koreans. I just want to ask you, as a congressman, what do you think Congress is going to be looking for here from the president?
Well, I think expectations have been kind of tamped down on the first meeting, which is fine, and because this will be a process. We're going to be looking for, the part of the risk I think the president and his team run is we don't want a deal that looks like the Iran deal. As I've said, I want to see a deal that's going to lead to a denuclearized North Korea basically for infinity. There will be some give to North Korea. I mean, they're not going to do this for nothing. There'll be some economic benefits, probably some security guarantees from China, sort of like what Cuba had from Russia. Mm-hmm. And those are fine gives because we don't seek to invade North Korea. So ultimately, as this process goes, there's going to be ups and downs, hopefully more ups. And then when we come up with a deal, I think the president indicated today, or the administration indicated today, that they want this to actually go through the Senate as a treaty, which would be actually quite a big deal. And, as had the Iran deal gone through as a treaty, it wouldn't have been able to be withdrawn from like this.
That's right. It takes 67 senators or something order to approve something like that, which is an unbelievably high bar. You would think he'd have to.
But there's still things that unite us here. And I think if they come up with something that says, hey, look, we don't have to go to war in North Korea. North Korea's not going to have nuclear weapons and XYZ. I think this is something that, whether you're Elizabeth Warren or Ted Cruz or Rand Paul, you'd probably support if it turns out to be pretty good.
Okay, so here comes the devil in said detail.
Yeah.
Do they still get to keep a nuclear program for energy? Because that was Iran's deal.
That's the question, and I don't know the answer to that. Probably not, because, frankly, they're not going to – the only reason they would have a nuclear program is to ultimately have a breakout capacity to nuclear weapons. I'm sure that will be Kim Jong-un's kind of opening thing. We want this for energy, et cetera, et cetera. And that'll probably lead to some kind of a guarantee from China, South Korea, us, make sure they have energy. But, if you look at it from Kim Jong-un's perspective, the difference that he has versus, Iran – he really doesn't meddle too much, with the exception of sharing technology, which is a concern, outside of North Korea, though. He's really focused internally. Iran takes the benefits of the Iran deal and destabilizes the Middle East. So it's a little bit of an apple and orange scenario, but I think ultimately probably the negotiations are going to sound a lot like they did under the prior administration.
I mean, they have been a little expeditionary, though. I mean, I know that you have access to things, and you're you know, as a congressman in the committees that you are on, you get to see things that we don't get to see.
Aliens, all that.
Yeah, right. I know that, but you did, and I completely agree with you about Iran. I mean, they've been meddling in a lot of things, and they are a strategic enemy, really, of our two allies there. And the funny thing is that our two allies hate each other there. Saudi and Israel don't really like each other. But the one thing they agree on is Iran. And that was the interesting piece in this moment of pulling out of the Iranian nuclear deal, is that you got consensus from both the Iranians, or from the Saudis and from the Israelis, that that was going to be a good thing. And they're, because they have been meddling in everywhere. But, you know, now what you have seen, though, is that Iran is basically taking over Iraq, right? I mean,
totally.
Yeah, I mean, and you're an Iraq War veteran. I mean, you see this. You see that that Iran is expeditionary in a way that, and we're not talking about that, and the president is not talking about that, but right. They basically have just won a gigantic political victory in a legitimate election in Iraq, and they will be, you know, Iraq will be a satellite state of Iran before too long. Now, you don't want that in, but here's the question, and we'll get to, I mean, that's for another day, but on the Korean Peninsula, there's some interesting politics going on the Korean Peninsula, where the South Koreans, there's South Koreans that want unification with North Korea because they like the way North Korea does business in terms of, you know, their crazy, you know, communist and totalitarian kind of government. How do we keep that from happening?
Yeah, I mean, you mean in terms of just like the South Koreans meddling or trying to unify under that?
Well, I think, yes. I guess what I'm concerned about here is that we give too much power to Kim Jong-un to be more of an influence in South Korean politics. Talk about your meddling. And South Korea has one of the largest economies in the world, right? I think seventh or eighth largest economy in the world. So, you know, what do you do?
Yeah, I do think it's a concern. I think, you know, it's a tough one because, again, you know, the part of getting a peaceful deal done without resorting to war includes, you know, having to give something to the other side. And that would be some kind of an economic benefit more than likely and a security guarantee. And so you could see, you know, Kim Jong-un meddle in South Korea. The difference, though, is while they're culturally the same, obviously, they, I think, you know, when it comes to sociology, it's very different. I mean, the North Korean people basically think that this guy is, you know, Jesus incarnate. He's a god. His grandfather was, you know, ascended from the Mount of Happiness and unicorns and olives. But I think when you're in South Korea, which I've been to, and you see just the amazing economic story that South Korea is, I don't worry too much about a North Korea meddling situation. But what I do worry about is in this process, giving China basically undue influence in the region. They're obviously right there. If they play a big role in this deal, you know, China's going to come out of this strong. And I think in the long term, China is going to be our biggest competitor, for sure.
The president today was saying that he could walk away from this if it doesn't look like it's worth sitting down, and that we're nowhere near what we need to be in order to have a discussion. And then at one point he even said, you'll know this went badly if you start hearing me say maximum pressure. We don't talk about maximum pressure right now because it's very friendly, but if you hear me say that later, then you'll know it went badly. But I guess the real question is, do you feel any sense of optimism that's real and tangible at this point that even opening these discussions, that there looks like there may be an opening meeting, and that from there, who knows what's going to happen? Do you feel there is some sort of a good faith conversation that will begin here?
Yeah, I do. And I think it was very telling, and it was kind of amazing when I saw some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle when President Trump called off the meeting. They you know, excoriated him, and I go, don't tweet, because those tweets aren't going to age very well, because 24 hours later, Kim Jong-un is coming back basically asking to redo the summit, to put the summit back on. So I think the president, in a very minor way, you know, at that point, showed that he's willing to walk away. I think he is willing to walk away. I've met with the president on the North Korean issue, and to alleviate a lot of people's concerns, I'll tell you, this guy is very smart on this issue. He knew, I think, you know, I put myself in pretty much an expert in foreign policy. I don't say that braggingly, but he knew some things about Asia that I didn't even know. And so, you know, this idea that he's disconnected, not paying attention, just kind of shooting from the hip, It may seem like that, and you know there may be some of that, but I actually think the president knows and has a goal that he wants to achieve. And then you put on top of that, I know Mike Pompeo very well, and he's one of the smartest guys I've ever met on these issues. So I think he's got a good team around.
Do you feel good about this?
I do. I mean, I don't want to celebrate yet because this can go anywhere, and we've done this before, and it's led to bad things. But I do feel confident that we will be willing to walk away from a bad deal, and I think that's the mistake the Obama administration made, is they never telegraphed that. And at the end of the day, the Iranians were really able to take advantage of them in things like ballistic missile development.
All right. Well, I have to leave it at that. I wanted to ask you about the G7, too, but that's not the airplane, the summit. All right.
It could go either way, yeah. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Stand up straight in the G7. That's a nice thing. The new one coming out. All right.
So get in that movie, Top Gun 2,
yeah.
Congressman.
Oh, he's already in it.
I'll be Goose. I'll die early.
Val Kilmer's already signed
Spoiler.
Up.
exactly. No, I see you as the guy that actually saves the day. You're the one who shoots down the aliens. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah. I'll be the one in the locker room in my whitey tighties mourning the loss of my friend to sad music.
Right, they're always taking a shower. You've been in the United States Air Force. I know it's different than the Navy, but the Air Force for two decades. Do you ever in the locker room, like, take a shower and, like, whip each other with towels like they did in the homoerotic scenes in Top Gun?
Yeah,
I feel like these are personal questions.
Our favorite thing is if you have a bad flight, we snap our teeth at the other guy and call him dangerous. Dangerous.
Gosh, I don't want to hear that.
I don't know if the Navy was... I think there's a lot of guys who are naval aviators who look at that movie and go, oh, please. I like to fly in...
It was the best recruiting tool for aviation, though, ever.
Yeah. And
really?
Also,
yeah.
It was. And also, yeah. I think for, for Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military. All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet, guys. See ya.
Bye. Oh, God.
All right, I'm going to take that as he hung up on me because he didn't like the answer, and that's the way that I want the record to reflect that he didn't agree with that and he hung up on me.
Okay. I'd like the record to reflect.
It'd be good for his
career.
There
are things in my mind I can't unsee right now.
All right, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?